Good evening. Thanks everyone for joining. What I want to explore tonight is the concept of being alone, of loneliness. It's a timely topic for two reasons. Number one, Tish B'Av, it is not only something that's discussed in Icha, but of the essence of what we do, and we'll come back to that. And number two, because loneliness is something that stands out in the experience that we've had the last few months. Some people are lonely because they live alone, they don't have anyone to be with, and they weren't able to go out and to be with friends. And even those of us who've been living with a spouse, with other people, have still been limited in our ability to socialize, to live life normally. Even if we had a nice Pesach with one or two people, we were still missing many people from our Seder tables, and we were still missing people from our Shabbos tables. So that's very much on our minds today. And the Washington Post, very early on in the pandemic, in fact, even before, after shows were shut down, but before they were shut down, orders from the government, Amanda Ripley wrote the following in the Washington Post. It's a bit provocative. "What if we were told," she asks, "that the best way to slow the spread of the coronavirus pandemic was to smoke 15 cigarettes a day? What would you do?" Loneliness, we know from the research, can be as bad for your health as smoking. Loneliness itself was pandemic long before COVID-19 got its name. It's increased threefold in the last 20 years. But still, canceling church, school, works, and sports means we are doing something that can be hazardous to our health in order to save lives. It sounds like a trap, but it's more like a balancing act. And she goes on to describe different ways that we can counteract our loneliness. And yet it's hard to deny that what's gone on over the last few months, not only in this country, but throughout the whole world, has been a lot of loneliness. Loneliness appears at the very beginning of the experience, or the Korban, when we open Megillat Eicha. It begins, "Eicha yashva vadad." Alas, lonely sits the city. "Ha'ir abati am," once great with people. She that was great among the nations. "Haita ke'almana," she's become like a widow. "Rabati bagoyim, sarati babadinot, haita lamas," the princess among states has become a thrall. So the very first thing we're told is that there's loneliness. There's loneliness in the wake of the Korban. The word badad only comes up a few times in Tanakh. We'll explore a few times what it means, but Rashi here explains badad, galmud miyoshveha, devoid of her inhabitants. So, from the pshat, from the simple meaning of the verse, we're talking about Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was lonely, once had a lot of people, it was a great city among the nations. And that's what we see here. It's interesting, Yerushalayim is compared to an almana. But Rashi says, not actually a widow, not literally a widow, but like somebody whose husband went out to sea, they went abroad, vidato lachzor etzla, and he intends to return to her. So that puts loneliness in a little bit of a different light. It's one thing to be lonely knowing that perhaps a person with whom your life was intertwined is no longer there and is not going to come back. So this widow, Yerushalayim, on the one hand, knows that her husband's supposed to come back. She can anticipate, she can expect it. And yet she's alone in this current moment. And not only that, but maybe there's an anxiety. When's he going to come back? Is he going to make it back? It was very dangerous to go out. There's a bit of that anxiety. And we'll have to come back to this. This will be very important for something we will see at the end. But so far we've established that it seems like our pasuk is talking about Yerushalayim being lowly. And yet, a couple of midrashim quoted by the Torah Tmima point us in a different direction, that it's not just Yerushalayim that's lonely. Really, in essence, it's everybody who's lonely. So, Rav Abba Bar Kahana and Eicha Rabba quotes a pasuk, "Mipnei Yadcha Badad Yashavti, I sat alone because of thy hand." Amar Knesset Yisrael Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish people said to Hashem, "Ribono Sheolam, Master of the Universe, Naga Biyado Shaparu, Shalparo, Lo Yashavti Badad, the hand of Paro attacked me, but I was not alone. Yado Shal Sancheriv, Lo Yashavti Badad, Sancheriv attacked me, but I was not alone. V'cheven Shenaga Bi Yadcha Yashavti Badad, but when your hand attacked me, I was alone. Hoy Eicha Yashva Badad." And what we get here is that Knesset Yisrael also feels a loneliness, an estrangement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's interesting because there could be a lot of angst, and there could be a lot of worry and desperation when enemies attack, and maybe you feel isolated from the world. When we have connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what bitachon is. You're never alone. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoning us is what made us feel alone, especially because we were supposed to have the special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We, in some ways, are like an almana. Shir HaShirim describes our wedding, the festive love between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That changed on Tisha B'Av. We became an almana. We became Badad. If it's of any comfort, though, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also lonely, according to the Medrash. Rabbi Alexandri explains, there's a pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Shakati v'yeket zippor boded, I watch and become like a sparrow." HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I watch carefully, shakati, to have my shechina in the Beis HaMikdash forever. Like a sparrow, who when you take away its young, it feels solitary, it's left solitary. So to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Kach anuchi sarafti beiti, I burnt down my house, v'chrafti et iri, I destroyed my city, v'higleiti et banai, I exiled my children, levena ovdei kochavim, exiled my children to be among the idol worshippers, v'yashavti li levadi, I sat alone." HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Imon Achi V'Tzara. HaKadosh Baruch Hu experiences that loneliness with us. Sometimes, when a relationship breaks up, so it's not that one person was happy to leave the other person, but even if one person initiated the breakup, it's still very painful. And here, if it's of any comfort, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also felt the pain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also felt the loneliness. The marriage that took place at Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's described in Shir HaShirim, was severed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels that in Eicha as well. So, we've established that Megillas Eicha, first and foremost, is about loneliness and estrangement that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Yerushalayim has from us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has from us. And as I said, this word Badad only comes up in a couple of times in the Tanakh, so I think it's worthwhile to explore the idea of Badad, the idea of being lonely, from the other vantage points in Tanakh. And we might see that loneliness does not always have to be a bad thing. Certainly, in Eicha, it is. But we will learn an important lesson about loneliness from both the good and the bad. One of the first places where the word Badad comes up is in the discussion of the Metzora in Sefer Vayikra. someone whose Metzorah is impure, but people who are impure, so they have to be careful not to touch certain things in order to not impart impurity, certain food, certain pieces of furniture. But it doesn't mean that you're contaminated, usually, and have to separate from others. And yet, the Metzorah does. Kol Yemei Asher Hanega Bo, the Torah says, Itma Tamehu. As long as the disease is on him, he is unclean. Badad Yeshev Michutz L'Machane Moshevo. Being unclean, he shall dwell apart. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So the Metzorah is also Badad. Metzorah also has to be separated. So what's that about? So the Bechor Shor says, Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor, 12th century Baal Tosfo says, that Shazerach Hol Mispashet Abnei Adam Hargili Metzlo, Ukachi Abadad Shalo Yargil Adam Elav. This is an illness that spreads. Hanging around a person, it's going to spread. So it's better the person sits alone so that others won't come near him. Okay, so we can relate to that a little bit. That's exactly what we're doing right now with COVID. We don't want the illness to spread. So it's just a natural consequence of the situation. The Rashi, quoting the Gemara from Arachin, tells us what we famously know, or takes what we famously know about the cause of the Torah, of Tzaras being Lashon Hara, and that very much plays into the consequence of having to be set apart, of having to be alone. Rashi quotes the Gemara, Ma nishana mish'art meim l'shei badad, why? As I said, why is a Mitzorah different that they have to sit alone? Ho'il behu, hivdil b'lashon hara ben ishle, ishto ben ishle re'ehu, because he caused people to separate a husband and wife, or two people to separate, asu ibadel, he also must be separated. So, it's what we would call a logical consequence. He caused rifts. He caused people to drift apart. He caused people to be alone through his gossip. So he suffers that consequence as well. He has to be alone. We know that sometimes Lashon Hara is just, it's bad because it's negative. It impacts us negatively, impacts other people negatively. But sometimes Lashon Hara can be bad enough, especially when it gets back to the person, or if it totally changes the way somebody sees the person, but provides no great benefit. So it creates a sense of isolation. It creates a sense of loneliness. Yoznaim LaTorah, Rav Zalman Saratskin, elaborates on this in a highly, highly fascinating way. I pulled a long quote. Particularly if you're following along the story sheet, I just thought this was really a gem of an insight. So he says we can expand on this, because somebody who speaks Lashon Hara, so ne'as habrios, this is somebody who hates people. Sheruvin mekapeach parnasasav v'shimon lo nahai v'kavod kare'ui niskabe v'klona v'kavod. So let's say we have a guy, Levi. So Levi is upset with Reuven because he's shortchanging him of his wages. Or he's cheating him in business in some fashion. And maybe he's also upset with Shimon because Shimon's not giving him the proper cover that he thinks he deserves, that's due to him. And therefore, what does Levi do? He goes to both of them and talks about them. It's a fascinating thing that, you know, you find yourself in circumstances, you know, you have to deal with these people anyway. So you're indiscriminate, and you just, you know, you tell, you know, whoever you're talking to, you tell them what's wrong with everybody else. So he talks about Reuven in front of Shimon and Shimon in front of Reuven. And as this person has this sort of attitude that, you know, everything that's wrong to them becomes sort of a hatred, and you first start hating a couple people, and then it expands to hating everybody else. And he has this idea, Shekol ha'olam kulo nivra ela bishvilo, the whole world is created for myself. And Hosanna Torah says, Kol Bayi Olam Gozli Mechol Mesim Esa Shayach Ach Verak Lo. It's like everybody is stealing and taking from me. Whatever inconveniences me is stealing from me. Everybody else is in my way. L'fichach Hayarotza Shekol Bnei Hadam Yamusu B'Magefa Ra. He wants everybody to... His best wish would be for everybody just to die in a terrible plague. He wishes that everybody will get the coronavirus and will perish. V'niskav hu levado b'yom ahu v'chol yiyesh ala v'shuso. That this quote, v'niskav Hashem levado b'yom ahu. No, it's v'niskav hu levado. That this person would love to be alone and thereby exalted. As Hamutar says, with Barnash Kazeh, such a person, he himself should die in a Magefa, but instead he gets the punishment of Taras, Kadosh Baruch Hu is merciful. We're not going to kill such a person, but he gets Taras. Okay, so that's the diagnosis of the problem. Why does this person have to sit alone? Because they don't have an appreciation for anybody. They think the whole world revolves around them, and such a person is toxic for society. So now we get into, what's the remedy for such a person? Or how is this a remedy? Since such a person is toxic, they have to sit alone, and they should taste that taste of loneliness that in some ways that they kind of want. That's kind of what you're asking for. You don't want to deal with people. Everybody annoys you. So we'll let you some time alone. But here's where the remedy gets interesting. As betach is kagiram al min ha'adam yikabel alav l'nashek as afar raglo shel ha'ish harishon shisratze l'shevis l'adaber yimo. Eventually, what's going to come to happen and probably in a short amount of time, is that person's going to come, he's going to realize, I really miss people a lot. And the first person that comes and kisses the dust of my feet, or the first person that comes to talk to me, I'll kiss the dust of their feet. Because they're coming to relieve my loneliness. And then he goes on to describe Robinson Crusoe and his world of loneliness on a deserted island. In the wake of a shipwreck, and the way he began to miss people and miss talking to people, the fact that made its way in there in this parish of Torah. This is not somebody who majored in literature and Yeshiva University. So I thought that was a fascinating detour. But anyway, so that's why this is why a person who has Taras has to sit alone, because in order to teach them to love other people, to miss people, to want to be with other people, and then eventually also the person has saras, and they're going to be screaming, "Tamei, tamei, I'm impure. Technically in the Torah, that's the person with saras, that's the one who screams that, but in some ways he's going to be screaming, I'm tamei with saras, daven for me. And he's going to need people's tefillos, and he's going to ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to accept the tefillos of other people. So that's the significance of the Mitzorah being isolated, is because their Lashon Hara either stems from or turns into a hatred of humanity, of other people, of self-centeredness, and its isolation comes to teach them the importance of proper social interactions, the importance of human connection, just to, in general, to accept Ve'ahavta L'Re'acha Kamocha. And I think this has interesting implications for Tisha B'Av as well. Because where did Eicha Yashva Badad come from? So this is more than the second Beis HaMikdash and the first Beis HaMikdash, but our current Eicha Yashva Badad that we're doing right now is because of Sinas Chinam. The Gemara in Yoma says that because of the baseless hatred we have of other people, and hatred's often not baseless, but perhaps the Sinas Chinam and the Lashon Hara are very well connected. Because if we habitually tell Lashon Hara, we just pick up on anything we can to disparage other people, and it's not necessarily meaningful in any way, but Lashon Hara is the manifestation of Sinas Chinam. And perhaps that's what Eicha Yashva Badad is about, that we are isolated, we are alone, and this manifests in the laws of Tisha B'Av, that we're not supposed to greet other people. Perhaps that's all meant to teach us to really learn to appreciate other people, to like other people, to be nice to other people. Maybe that's what this day is really about. Professor Arthur Brooks had a column on January 2nd, 2020. Okay, so this was even before COVID. It was entitled, How to Avoid the Traps That Produce Loneliness and Isolation. It's really fascinating that, you know, this is like an unintended foreshadowing of what was to come for the year 2020. And he said that half of Americans report sometimes or always feeling alone. Half of Americans. And companies are starting to research this. Cigna, which is an insurance company, started to research this. And they're interested in this is because this has important implications for both our physical and mental health. As we said before, the columnist I mentioned earlier said that too much loneliness and isolation is like smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So it has both physical and mental health effects. And one of the suggestions that he gives for why there is this isolation and feeling of loneliness is because of political polarization. That people become so suspicious of what other people believe, what other people hold, what views that they have. If you don't agree with me, you're either stupid or you're evil. I think that's actually a very big kind of sinas chinam, because I can allow that perhaps there are certain what we might call political views that can be morally problematic. But yeah, not every single person who votes for the candidate you don't agree with believes in that evil or is responsible for that evil. We're all responsible for fixing it. But if we learn to talk to each other instead of the Sinas Chinam, instead of the Lashon Hara, maybe we can work together to rebuild something, we can fix something where we are. Okay, so that's Badad, the Mitzorah, Eicha Yashva Badad. The word Badad comes up in a couple other places in the Torah. It comes up in Vezos HaBracha, Yishkon Yisrael Betach Badad, In Yaakov El Eretz Agan, V'tirosh Av Shamav Yarfu Tal. Thus Israel dwells in safety, the fountain of Yaakov in solitude. So, what's a solitude? So, Avshalom Shalom Frohl Hirsch says that this is a positive solitude. It's a positive solitude that it's being secure, we're under God's protection, and we're detached from any connection with other nations. And this is seen as seemingly as being positive, because we're secure, we're protected, we're self-confident, we're independent. That sounds like a very good thing. The Torah Tamima, according to Gemara Sanhedrin, makes this connection between the Badad of Vezos HaBracha, secure sort of Badad, versus the Eicha Yashva Badad. They're really polar opposites. Badad in Dvarim is secure, independent. Eicha Yashva Badad is isolated in the negative sense of having been destroyed and having been abandoned. So what the Torah Tamima and the footnote says about this is that what's going on here is that if we would have been Zelcha, if we would have merited, then the word Badad would have been fulfilled as a bracha, as a blessing. But since we didn't merit that, Badad was Eicha Yashva Badad. It became a curse. If we would have been Zocha, our separation, our loneliness, our isolation would have been one of dignity, would have been one of security. But instead, it's sorrow and disgrace. He goes on to say that perhaps Baghdad, when it refers to a nation, it's a positive thing, but when it comes in relation to the city that the people dwell in, Yerushalayim, it's a negative thing. But what we see is that the fortune was turned on its head. And the Ksav Kabbalah goes on to say that sometimes Baghdad, as we said before, sometimes Baghdad has a negative connotation, Eicha Yashar Baghdad, that we are devoid of other people, that we're abandoned. People who we were together with who could have helped us, we were devoid of them. Self-sufficiency is a positive kind of Baghdad. So if we would have merited, we would have had the positive kind of Baghdad. And that's maybe what Eicha highlights, is that we should have had the positive Baghdad. If we would have followed the Torah properly, if we would have kept mitzvahs, being on a malakum properly, if we would have done the right thing in that realm, we would have gotten the Baghdad of Bracha. And likewise, if we would have done the right thing, being Adam Lachavera, if we wouldn't have perverted justice, if we wouldn't have allowed murder to happen, allowed widows and orphans to be mistreated, we would have had the positive Bracha, the positive Baghdad. But instead, positive Baghdad became a negative Baghdad. Eicha Yashvat Baghdad, because of our misdeeds, because of the kinds of things like the Metzora did. Maybe just start with Lashon Hara, that spread to other things. The word Baghdad also comes up in Sefer Bamidbar. Interesting here too, it could also be seen as a blessing and a curse, and we'll see both views. Comes up in Bilam's brachos, and it's interesting there in some ways what Bilam was supposed to say, if he had gotten the way he wanted to, is it would have all been klala, would have all been cursed, but instead it became bracha. The pasuk that some of us might be familiar with, Kimei Rosh Sirim Er'enu Migva'os Ashirenu, I see them from the mountaintops, gaze on them from the heights, Hen Am Levadad Yishkon V'goin Lo Yischashav, there's a people that dwells apart, not reckoned among nations. A people that dwells apart. So what's this people dwells apart? So too, this is generally seen as a positive thing. The Choshur explains that when somebody is Baghdad, it means that you don't need other people. And some people, if you live alone, so today we have, some people have alarm systems, but it'd be kind of scary and spooky to be alone at night, to not be with other people, but if we're in a place of security, we don't need them. And that feeling of Baghdad can be quite wonderful. The other nations can't touch us. We are secure. We are self-sufficient. Rabbeinu Bachayiv elaborates on that not only is it a physical security, but also spiritual security, that we are moved dal mehem b'tzorasov emunasov, that we are unique, we are distinct in our Torah and our faith, that we don't have to be like other people, we can feel secure and proud of who we are, we can be independent in the most positive sense in our faith. We appreciate people who think for themselves, are willing to be countercultural when it represents something that's good, of course, but assuming that our Torah represents all that is good and all that is just, that's a wonderful thing to be Baghdad. And Shimshon Rafael Hirsch also echoes this, and I think, by the way, what's I think noteworthy here is we're talking about here about somebody who believed in some sort of cultural integration. Nonetheless, he said, I'll read it in English, this people will dwell in its own delimited land without much contact with other nations. It will fulfill its internal mission as an as a people that forms community, and will not seek its greatness as another goy among goyim, as a national body that presses by its power and might. So with all the cultural integration that Rabbi Hirsch wanted, he was not, he expressly was opposed to those who wanted to change religion just so that we could be like other people. Hinam levada nishkon, what it means to dwell securely is that here he really has sort of a Zionist vision here of being in our own land, and we fulfill our mission. That's nothing to be ashamed of. That's a positive kind of baidah. And Hamak Davar talks about that even Hinam levada nishkon, even when it comes to assimilation, so when other nations are assimilated, so they literally are exiled, so they just end up assimilating. But Am Yisrael still has this backbone that we know who we are. So this is a positive kind of badad. And perhaps here too again, what the sin of Am Yisrael was, and what turned to our being badad in the negative sense is that we weren't willing to be badad in the positive sense. That we did a avodah zarah, that, you know, even going back to the very first king, we wanted a melech kol ha'goyim sivo seinu, that we wanted to be like other nations around us. There's always this need for an Israel to be like everybody else, instead of being proud of our mission of Torah, following it properly, being believers in what we have. To be sure, Rabbi Jonathan Sacks in Future Times writes that Hinam levadad nishkon is not always a positive thing, but he's coming from a context where today there are people who see the way the UN treats Israel, other nations treat Israel, and we just sign it off as being Hinam levadad nishkon. We're always going to be alone, we're always going to be standing up for ourselves. And Rabbi Sacks very, very strongly pushes against this notion of Hinam levadad nishkon. He says if you define yourself as the people that dwells alone, that will be your fate. You will convince yourself that you have no friends, you are isolated, no one understands you, the world hates you. Your efforts at self-explanation will be half-hearted. Your expectations of winning allies will be low. You will not invest as much effort as others do to make your case in the audience chamber of the world, where inwardly you are convinced that all effort will fail. You have decided that this is the Jewish fate, that nothing can change. It was ever thus and always will be. Jews have enemies, but we also have friends, and if we worked harder at it, we would have more. So on the one hand, it seems like, you know, some of the vision of Hinam levadad nishkon put forth by Mepharshim is that we don't necessarily need other people. But at the same time, I think what Rabbi Sacks is saying is that Hinam levadad nishkon, or at least the way we can understand, is that it depends what kind of badad we're talking about. We don't want to be an Echa Yashva badad. That kind of badad we don't want to be. But Hinam levadad nishkon, so Rabbi Sacks pushes against it. The way I'm understanding it, he's pushing against it if it allows us to be an arrogant Hinam levadad nishkon, but also if it's Hinam levadad nishkon more in the Echa sense. I think having self-confidence, having security, of course is a valuable thing, but we don't want it to turn into something that isolates us of being a pariah, so that is a curse. That is not something that we want to experience. And there's that fine line between crossing over towards trying to be too much like other people, but also having the self-security to be independent. Rabbi Sacks, of course, believes that Judaism is a special religion. We should be proud of it. We should appreciate the special contributions that Judaism has had to civilization. but not all isolation is positive. I think that's the sense that we get. We can also get this a little bit on a personal level. As I was saying before, loneliness is bad when we're alone. We have zero social connections. So that can be something that's extremely difficult. But at the same time, almost half the population in some ways appreciates a degree of loneliness. Right? People who are called introverts. People who are introverts aren't necessarily antisocial or shy. The people who draw their energy from creativity. And as Susan Cain describes in her very popular TED Talk on introverts, it's a TED Talk that has, at this point, 26 million views. She also has a book about it. She spent 7 years writing and researching it. So people who are introverts appreciate being alone because it allows us to be creative, and being creative comes from being alone. You can't really read a book, you can't write, you can't think deeply necessarily when you're always constantly being a social butterfly. So she explains that sometimes the best ideas and the best actions come not necessarily from lots of meetings and group projects and activities, but through a degree of being alone. She describes how her grandfather, who's a rabbi, somebody who was beloved, the streets were cleared for his funeral. So he would interact with people, he would help people, he would get up in front of people to talk. It was also somebody who was surrounded by books and appreciated appreciated the ability to be alone. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lamm, Zichrono Livracha, describes this beautifully in Drashot LeDorot. He says, "Darkness or solitude can become the curse of loneliness, as it did when it plagued the Egyptians and separated every man from his brother. A loneliness that prevented one from feeling with the other, from sharing his grief and joy, his dreams, and his fears. Darkness indeed can be a plague." Okay, so I would say that's Echa Yashva Badad. That's the kind of loneliness that, both on a personal level and a national level, is something that is not positive. It's not a bracha. But the same darkness can, in fact, be a blessing. It can be worthy of the close presence of God Himself. For solitude means privacy. It means a precious opportunity when a man escapes from the loud brawl of life and the constant claims of society. And in the intimate seclusion of his own heart and soul, he gets to know himself and realize that he is made in the image of God. Loneliness can be painful, but can also be precious. You get that dialectic a little bit that we've been seeing, the positive and the negative. Rabbi Lamm goes on to say, "I've never known a really creative person who did not proceed to the creative act with at least a moment of profound, thoughtful solitude. No really great speech or beautiful musical composition is rolled off extemporaneously. It is forged in the silence of the mind when the outside world is shut out by godly darkness. No brilliant idea, whether in the sciences or arts or business, is born out of the brawl of life. It is hatched out of the stillness of a creative personality. What is inspiration? It is nothing but the product of positive and constructive silence in the innermost and viable chambers of a man's heart. The source of light is in this kind of darkness or solitude." I mentioned before Susan Cain's grandfather, who is a rabbi. I think there's something in general about rabbis that, on the one hand, we're people, we talk to people at Kiddush, we help people, we work the room at a communal event, and yet part of what we're able to do in order to conceive of ideas is this need to withdraw. And the two don't necessarily contradict. Human connectedness is something that's important, and in a badad where we're isolated, dejected, of despair, or we're missing key relationships, so that can be extremely painful and harmful. But the button that allows for a little bit of self-confidence when a person is alone, not because they're forced to be, but because they're ready to engage in creativity and deep thinking. When they choose that sort of buddha that we talked about, Bamidbar and Dvarim, where it comes from a place of security, faith, of confidence, so that is quite beautiful. And to bring this out again on the national level, to bring this all together, Dr. Yael Zeigler, in her comments on Eicha, has a very beautiful idea. She said, this word, Badad, may simultaneously point us to the cause of Israel's loneliness and its solution as well. If only Israel had maintained its perception of its singularity among the family of nations. If only Judah had refrained from creating alliances that erase fundamental ideological and religious differences. Israel's willingness to blend into the community of nations, her refusal to maintain her divinely mandated uniqueness, turns a blessing of singularity, Am Levadad Yishkon, into curse of isolation, Yashva Badad. Therefore, the experience of loneliness may be the very thing that can facilitate Israel's return to the ideal. Sitting alone can be a constructive experience for the battered city, reminding her that her isolated position in God's bidding and Jerusalem's destiny among the world's nations. Okay, so we see here that the two different understandings of Badad are not contradictory. That ideally we want the blessing of Badad, of being singular, being unique, of being secure, being confident. But in our failure to do that, we became Badad. But as Yoznaim LaTorah described, that Badad can be used as an opportunity for introspection, for learning what it means to be the proper Badad, whether it's on the religious level of being confident and proud of who we are as a Jewish people, or whether that's on an interpersonal realm, Sinas Chinam destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and maybe we need that Badad in order to remind ourselves what will bring us the redemption, the kind of Badad that brings human beings together. And I think to leave us perhaps on a note of hope, I mentioned before that Rashi explained that when Yerushalayim is described as an Almanah, or Israel being described as an Almanah, that it's not really an Almanah, but not really a widow, but somebody whose husband went out to sea and waiting for the return. And in a comment on Yirmiyahu that mentions the widower, Radak Rav David Kimchi explains that this is not like the widower whose spouse died, that they are forever alone. Lokan Yisrael kibala chai v'kayam. Our spouse is alive and eternal. V'im azva begalus oif kedena v'yashu v'lev v'kod alaveham. He will come back. So perhaps we're in this temporary feeling of loneliness and it continues on, but Mirtzei Hashem, we will be reunited. We won't have this loneliness. We will have learned the lessons of loneliness. We'll come back. So if I could just end with a couple important takeaways. Number one, loneliness can be a bad thing. Echa Yashva Badad. It's not a good thing. And part of that is because we need connection. We need connection to other human beings. When we're alone, we're isolated, that's not good. We need connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps our redemption is in helping others overcoming it. The chesed that we do, the opposite of Lashon Hara, all of that can be redemptive. It's interesting because the Netzara is isolated from the community, so is a mourner. A mourner, in some ways, withdraws, are required to stay home. But what happens is that people come to the mourner. Soloveitchik describes the way that the mourner is different because people comfort each other. Mourners are comforted by other people. And perhaps on Tisha B'Av, so we're collectively mourners, as I said, we have these practices of mourning, least of which includes that we don't greet each other, we don't give each other shalom, but a lot of these same practices of Shiva apply to Tisha B'Av. So perhaps on you know, maybe more post Tisha B'Av or late afternoon Tisha B'Av, we're meant to comfort each other. And that sort of coming together to comfort, to realize the, that we were apart, but now we need to come back together, that can bring us redemption. Second thing I think is worth mentioning is that a measure of loneliness can be good when we emerge as better people. If our isolation reminds us the importance of connecting with other people, if it reminds us the importance of being proud Jews, that you know that we're not trying to create connections that will blur the lines of what it means to be a proud Jew, but we emerge confident and secure and with full faith and belief of where we are, that kind of loneliness is good. The loneliness we should seek is one that comes from that place of security, of confidence, of pride. Loneliness we should seek is one that brings us creativity, the deep thinking, introspection, that brings us from doing the wrong thing to doing the right thing in the face of the wrong. And if we can internalize those ideas, perhaps we can do more to bring the Geulah. Wishing everybody an easy, meaningful fast.